your picture of a donkey. Let's try not to manifest the character of one. As we take a moment to reflect on where we are and what happened here. Okay. Now the donkey, we need prayer. Okay, everyone. You have your attention. Enough of the donkeys. Here we go. There is hardly a story in the Bible that is as significant to a Jewish heart as much as this one. Why is that? For a lot of reasons. One would be David. David is the most frequently mentioned name in the entire Bible, over 1,000 times. Nobody's even close, and that's strange, isn't it? We have Abraham, we have Moses, we have Elijah, yet David's name is mentioned more than all of them together. David was the king who brought Israel glory that it rarely had. Certainly his son Solomon, because of his negotiations with various rulers and his marriages, broadened that kingdom, but David was the warrior. Remember that God is called El Gabor in the Bible, the man of war, battle. God is the God of battle. David was the man of Gabor, a man, a warrior, battle. So David represented a wonderful thing to Jewish hearts about who God is. We also remember, if you remember your Bible, that David was called a man after God's own heart. He's the only one in the entire Bible about whom that was said. People ask, what did that mean? And I think that is a very interesting subject. In fact, I've written extensively on it, whether you know it or not. It's a very difficult subject, as Bible teachers disagree. I'd like to suggest to you, on the basis of what my Bible teaches me, that the reason why David was a man after God's own heart is because he did not seek revenge on his enemies. Mm. Is God a God of revenge? Of course he is. Did he ever tell David to take it out on the Philistines when David came to inquire of the Lord? Yes, of course he did. But there were many instances where David demonstrated the heart of the Lord himself. We're told concerning the Messiah that he was one of meekness and lowliness in heart. Meekness in Greek, by the way, it has antonyms. Most all Greek words have antonyms and synonyms. It's the largest language in the history of the world, 32 million words. No language even comes close. And in Greek, the opposite of meekness, interestingly, is revenge. So if you're meek, you do not seek revenge. Now sometimes God used somebody to touch the heart of David. Remember there was Abigail. Why would you spend any time with my stupid husband? My translation, but it's more serious even in the Hebrew. Nabal, he was worthless. David, don't do it. You are the king of Israel. You are stooping to a level. And of course, David thanked that woman and eventually, after her husband's death, took her to be his wife. There was also that incident of those young men. Remember that? Yelling, mocking them. By the way, they weren't children. These were young men. In Israel, the term young men in the Old Testament refers to one who is 20 years old and above, who is going to be taxed and go to war. So they're at least over 20. David had a captain of the guard named Joel, and all he wanted to do is go wipe those guys out. They coming back from the battle, they're all tired. David, just say the word and I'll go clean house on them. But David would not let him do it. Then we have the incident of Saul, which we're going to see tomorrow at Ein Gedi, where David stayed in the strongholds. He actually cut a piece of Saul's robe off, and all of his men said, "This is your chance. Get rid of him. You already have been told you're going to have the kingdom." He would not do it. Instead, his heart was struck deeply with even taking that step. It would satisfy a carnal heart. But with David, it was a broken heart. And Saul realized it when he saw what David had done and said, "David, thou art more righteous than I could ever be." So what happened here? A shepherd boy. Well, he had some evidence that God would intervene in his life. He killed a lion, and he killed a bear with his own hands. And he even makes that statement, "Hey, if God did that, who are you?" Well, his brothers were ticked, that's for sure. They thought, "Oh, he's coming to show off. Why are you guys so afraid up on this hill with that giant out there in the valley?" It's really quite a story. It's a long one. It's in 1 Samuel 17. I just want to list these 10 things with about an hour for each. No, it's going to be quick. First, remember that the armies of Israel were defeated emotionally in front of the armies of the Philistines. Don't tell me that doesn't happen to you and me. It can happen. Fear is a terrible thing. It's a snare and a trap, the Bible says. We need to fear the Lord. Be very, very careful. The enemies of our Lord are great. That's no reason for us to go hide. As a matter of fact, Israel needs to remember this story of David once again. You'll see why in a moment. Secondly, I want to remind all of you that it was the arrogance of this giant named Goliath that put fear in the heart of all of Israel's forces. The Bible spends here 8 verses to tell us they were afraid. This guy was huge. Like they say in football, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I can tell you from playing football a lot that the bigger they are, the more they hurt when they fall on top of you. The third thing is the arrival of David was not received well by anyone. It was humorous. You remember even when Saul put his armor on him? He couldn't even walk. This little kid trying to have the armor of one of God's kings. But the attitude of David is what was told to Saul. Saul, who most of the time had a very carnal mind and heart, but on this occasion he knew that something was unusual about this boy. And it was his attitude, according to verses 29 to 31, that impressed Saul. And the fifth thing that I was struck with was the assurance of David over what God could do. And that got into the heart of Saul. He realized God was speaking through this young shepherd boy and really rebuking him. He was afraid to take on the Philistines, though God assured them of victory. But he saw that assurance in this little shepherd boy. We need another shepherd boy today to come on the scene and say, "Israel, stop being afraid. Stop compromising. Stop listening to the wrong bush." Hello?
Yeah.
Moses.
Verse 38 to 40 tells us that the armor of Saul was too much for David to wear. He couldn't wear it. You know what? Everybody has their solution as to what will make you and me effective. Watch out. You and God make a majority. Let's get something straight. It's not your talent and your ability. It's who God is. This is what David made clear on that day, that little shepherd boy. We all need to learn that. Stop thinking that you're so talented or that your ability is what God needs. No, he doesn't. In 1 Corinthians 1, it says he chose morons. Welcome to the family of God. That's the Greek word, moronos, translated foolish, because the King James boys were scared to put the truth in the text. He also said that we were weak, not strong. Well, that word weak is totally inappropriate. The word is asthenos, which means you have no ability whatsoever. So once again, the King James boys couldn't understand why we're not that bad, are we? Oh, it got worse than that. The text says that you are worthless. You're not worth a dime. And people all over, whenever they hear this, they can get hurt. You know, you're hurting my self-esteem. Well, good. We need to get rid of it. I get esteem and worth from God. And so many times, it's the world system that makes us feel secure. David made it clear here where our security lies. And we need to be very, very careful about who we're trusting. Oh, by the way, it's still worse. God said, nobody likes you. Did you think they did? Yeshua said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Who do you think you are? You think they're all going to fall down, give you roses every day? Uh-uh. The seventh thing is that the abuse of Goliath toward David did not stop him. Oh, I've run into that so much in my life. People try to shut you up. They try to mock you or humiliate you. They try to put you down, abuse you. And I like to say, maybe more for myself than for the audiences I speak to, that if I lose my teeth, I'm going to gum it to death. I'm not quitting. If the Lord's on your side, that's all you need. You've got a majority right there. And that's so important to understand, because the battles of life are going to come. Believe me, they're going to come. I had a young kid, a teenager, who heard me talk about the battles of the Lord. He came up to me and says, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had any battles. I said, cheer up, you will. It's just a question of time. And number eight, the answer of David to Goliath showed he was a mighty man of God and knew who to trust. You come to me with a spear and a sword and a shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, and he'll finish you off. Don't you love this little kid? He could hardly get up to his kneecap, but he was ready. The attack, by the way, of David. I could just see the armies of Israel saying, you're going to use a what? A slingshot. Oh, great. This is stupid. But he had confidence that that's all it took. You know, little is much when God is in it. I found that out. It doesn't take a whole bunch of stuff. You just need to trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust who God is, not who you are. You aren't the issue. He is. And that's so important. So he picks up five stones, and I get so sick and tired of people writing articles about David's lack of faith. Are you kidding? God honored him. In fact, even after his sin and setting up the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah, one of his mighty men, and that was certainly terrible, but people said his life was ruined, his never was the same. That's a lie. You never read your Bible. As a matter of fact, all the kings of Judah after him, when they said they did good, but not like their father David. God continued to honor this man even after his death. And all he did is pick up five stones, and people say, oh, if he really trusted God, he would have picked up one stone. That's all it took. It was the first one. Well, you haven't read your Bible. If you kept reading a few chapters beyond that, you'd find out that Goliath had four sons. He was going after the whole family.
The name of God.
Why is that so funny? You see, David had confidence. Once you know who God is, it settles it. And one last thing. This text makes it so clear that the ability of David came directly from the Lord himself. When are we ever going to learn? It's God in you. The Lord works in you with his mighty power. You say, well, what if I don't feel like getting up in the morning, or I don't want to take another step? I know what that is. I know when the pain is so great and I can't take another step. I have watched God do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. When Paul said, when I was weak, then I was strong, he meant it. He said, I'm going to rejoice in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's power is not limited by my inabilities or my weaknesses or my pains. Not at all. God will use all of that for his glory. No matter how painful life has been, God will take the pain, the suffering, the infirmities, everything that you've experienced, all the broken promises and all the terrible tragedies that can hit anybody's family. As a matter of fact, since I'm on that, I'm going to end with this. Already, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you all, but already I've heard from many of you the tragedies that are in your family. Children, grandchildren, uncles, aunts. One of you said to me, there's nobody in my family that loves God except me. Well, I'm not going to cry for you. I'm going to thank God you do. You know the sins of the fathers are never put on the children? That's what Ezekiel 18 says. Did you know, as wild as your kids can be, that God's not going to punish you by some generational curse that some false teacher told you about? The words under the third and fourth generation is an idiom. If those generations continue to hate God, they will suffer exactly for what they've done. But if you will love God, you can break the chain. As a matter of fact, he will show mercy to the thousand generations who love him. Mm. We need to get straight in our brains.
Amen.
God holds each of us accountable for what we do. And we need to trust God with all of our heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. Isn't that amazing? Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with how much?
All
your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. I'm doing that all the time. I read that verse, I get rebuked. God says, don't even worry about it. Don't even lean that way. Don't tip that way, David. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The story of David here at the Valley of Elah is worth our time coming out on a hot day in this miserable place and reminding ourselves of what God taught us here at the Valley of Elah. And believe me, it's not just Israel that needs this message. North America desperately needs this message. In fact, the whole world does.
Amen.
We've come to trust our politicians and leaders, and the Bible told us not to. It says some trust in chariots and horses, but we will remember the name of our God.
Amen.
This is so important. This was a great event in Jewish history. May God open all of our hearts to who he is, which is a lot more fun to talk about than any of our miserable existences. Amen?
Yes.
Let's pray together. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the privilege of being right here in this place where that amazing story took place. Just one little stone hit him right where you knew it would kill him. Lord, I pray that we will understand that you can take a little shepherd boy and turn the destiny of nations on that one little boy's faith. We thank you for the testimony of David, the man after your own heart. You have constantly told us in the Bible what he was like. We know he had trouble. We know he had weaknesses. And so do all of us. But you're a God of mercy and forgiveness. And I can't help but remember that it was David who said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart you will never despise. You told us through David that you are near to the brokenhearted, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Teach us, Lord, to trust you. We thank you for this time. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen. Amen.